Okay, Jude, the book of Jude. And we're going to read verses 5 through 7 just so we remember the context of the verse that we're dealing with tonight. And tonight we're going to be preaching on Remember Sodom. And I put a dash down there, the LGBTQ plus city. So Jude 5 through 7, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. America once knew some things, didn't they? Though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so tonight we're going to be looking at verse 7 and remembering things that we once knew. Okay, we need to be reminded we are in a world that is worsening and worsening and worsening. And this is something, though, that our entire country once knew, that our entire country as a whole at one point in time rejected, and that is this level of immorality that is here. But let's look at the verse tonight. We'll look at some background passages and things. And remember what we're dealing with. Jude is writing to a church or a group of churches, whoever's going to get this letter. He is reminding them that they are to contend for the faith because they are in danger of becoming like the nation of Israel after they got out of Egypt. God blessed them and they disobeyed and God destroyed them. They're in danger of being like the angels that fell. God created them, gave them everything in perfection, and they rebelled against God, and they're reserved for judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to look at the state that they were living in and the blessings of God that abounded upon that area of land. But they went and rebelled against God and the things of God, and God said, it makes me so sick, I'm going to destroy it with fire and brimstone. And so let's pray tonight. Father, I ask you would help us to remember these things. God, we are in a wicked day. God, our country has followed after wickedness. Our country has tried to redefine terms that you have set in definition from the very beginning of creation on. God, I pray that you would help us never to fall toward these sins. God, help us to be aware tonight of the pathway to these sins. And so, God, that we would avoid it altogether. Help us to stand for truth and righteousness out and about in our communities. And God, I pray for that, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are contending for the faith. I want to start tonight by looking at the condition of Sodom. And I'm going to read some verses for the sake of time tonight. Genesis 13:10 says this, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. This was a place that was a place of abundance. It was a place that when Lot looked at it, he's like, this is so lush. This is so great. This is a great place for cattle. This is a blessed place by God. Look at the abundance that is here. Look at the fields and how they grow. The soil is so great. Everything is, this is like the garden of the Lord. This is like that best land down there in Egypt that I've seen. It was a place that had the privileges and blessings of God, giving it a great abundance upon the place. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 says, and delivered just Lot. The idea is righteous Lot. It's hard to comprehend, but a person can be justified and they can sin, but they're still justified in their soul, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That word conversation, again, in your King James Bible is not just what they were talking about. It was their lifestyle. Now, obviously, there's no doubt their language was infected as well. But Lot looked at this. He was vexed with it. Look at it. It says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." I want you to consider there for a minute. Lot chose to live in that area. Lot could have chosen to leave that area, but Lot stayed there. But every day, the activities of that city bothered him. It vexed his soul. Now, if you read just the account in Genesis, you would never see that. We know it because God knew his heart, and God gave it to be written down for Peter to write down and record so that we would have that. Now, when we look at the state of our country, the state of our city at times, it ought to vex our righteous souls. But we are in a dangerous place in our society because we can go out and about and things would take place. You know, Lot did not have television. Lot was not pumping this stuff into his own home, though it was obviously infecting and affecting his children. But we are in a dangerous place because people may look at it on the outside, oh, that person's doing this and oh, that person's doing this, but they are trying to pump it right into your homes. They're trying to pump it through your phones, through the computers, through all of that. So we are in a much more dangerous place. And Lot was being vexed. It bothered him, the things that he saw. Genesis 19:1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground." So he had taken a place of position in the city. Genesis 18:24, "Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein?" Abraham, from afar off, he starts out, and he says, boy, there's surely 50 righteous people down there. Lot's been down there. Lot's been down there for some time. Surely he's affected some people. Surely the city is not so bad that there are not 50 righteous people. And Abraham, just out of caution, went 40, 30, and on down to 10 righteous, and there were not 10 righteous people left. Sin is like an infection. It's like a virus. You hang around it too long, it's going to infect you. And so the state of the place, it was a place of great abundance. Ezekiel 16:49 says this, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." And again, he's speaking here to the nation of Israel, and he says, Sodom's your sister. There's nothing quite so stinging as that accusation right there. He says, "Pride, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." You know, when God judged Adam and Eve, he said, "Cursed is the ground for what? For thy sake." Now, why would God say that? Adam now had a sin nature. After he sinned, he had a sin nature. After he sinned, he knew the knowledge of good and evil. It would do man well to work hard and go to bed tired. Too much abundance of idleness, too much easy money, too much things that you don't have to work for creates wickedness in a society. People get prideful. They look at what they have. They think that they have what they have because they got it, when they really fail to realize we are in a relatively easy society now due to the very hard work of our forefathers who came across on covered wagons when there were no roads, who built houses on all of this territory and scrapped out a living. And we have it much easier. Why do you think that our society has gone plummeting into this wickedness so much in the last really 40 years? You could go even back a little further than that. Life's a little too easy. And if you don't keep your mind focused on God, and if you don't stay busy with something that's worthwhile, it's very easy to slip into the sins of the world that are all around. You've heard the phrase, it's not a Bible phrase, but you've heard the phrase, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And, you know, parents, you do well to keep your kids busy, for sure. This was the condition of Sodom. Blessed with great abundance, but forgetting that God provided that and going into all manner of wickedness because they had nothing to do. Everything was so easy and abundant. 2 Peter 2, 6 through 9, if you'd turn there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. Get the verses around Lot here. It says, verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them a what? An ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. This was done by God to demonstrate to the world that God still hates sin. God will still judge sin. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, we can live in a wicked society and still do right. We do not have to cave. We do not have to cater to wickedness in immorality. Remember, this idea of Sodom and Gomorrah points to those that were in the book of Jude. Let me get the exact phrase for you. That turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That said, you know what? We're saved by grace. We can live it up. It does not matter if we are immoral. It does not matter what kind of lust we go after. We're saved. We got our ticket to heaven. And he is saying, I want you to remember the things that you once knew. Immorality is still wicked. Immorality is still forbidden by God. Immorality will still be judged by God. The example given in Jude is this, that certain men turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. This city had taken the heart of Lot's wife. As she was exiting that city, she looked back, concerned for her lifestyle that she had gotten used to there. This city had turned his daughters into perverts in a wicked, wicked way. This city had made his sons-in-law and the daughters that were married to them into mockers of God and the judgment of God. It was about the company they kept. While this was vexing Lot's righteous soul, while Lot was remembering the things that Abraham had stood for and taught him, when Lot was remembering the God that had taken care of him, his children were out associating with the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah stole the family's heart. Jude is warning that if we are not careful, certain men will creep in into the churches and say fornication is okay. They'll creep into the churches and say that pornography is okay. They'll creep into the churches and say that adultery is okay. They'll creep into the churches and say that homosexuality is okay. They'll creep into the churches and say that Hollywood movies where people are committing fornication on the screen, it's all okay. You don't believe me? Go around. I've seen in the state of Iowa churches with rainbow flags out in front of them. The last couple years, down at the Ottumwa Sodomite party that takes place, there has been a church, quote unquote, I can't call it a church, but they call themselves a church, that is down there celebrating that vile wickedness with them. What is it? Certain men crept in unawares. In that case, it's the pastor of that church, crept in, turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, said, God doesn't care. And Jude is writing saying, look, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. We cannot let things go down that road. You know that Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Zephaniah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul, Peter, and Jude all reference Sodom and Gomorrah. In this judgment, not only did the men die, their families died. Their possessions perished. You know, people are often more concerned about their possessions than they are about themselves or their families. You know, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want. But if you touch their possessions, just an example of that, you think of the number of people that die monthly in New York. I mean, hundreds die every month in New York, right? But you get a one-time incident where the trade towers come down and, 3,000-something died in one day. It's like, oh, shake them up. Look, probably no more people really died that year in New York than any other year. It hit them at one time in one place, and so it shook them up a little bit. I want you to consider, let's look back there at Jude. 1 minute. It says, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, but notice this, and the cities about them in like manner. How many of you have heard of Adma and Zeboam? They kind of disappear, don't we? If you've read your Bible through, you have read of Adma and Zeboam. Genesis 14:2 says, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, and Shemember, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Now, Zoar was the one that didn't get destroyed, because that's where Lot talked God into letting him go. But Deuteronomy 29:23 says this, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass growing therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. You know, Hosea 11:8, God is speaking to specifically to the tribe of Ephraim. And he says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Adma? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? Mine heart turned within me. My repentings are kindled altogether. You know, we look at wicked cities like Los Angeles and Hollywood and Chicago and New York, and we see the great wickedness that goes on there. But you know, these lesser known suburb cities, they went down too. You may look at those cities and you think of these cities as wicked sin centers. And you might think, well, we're in a small town. Look, the wickedness comes from the big cities to the small towns too. We've got to be aware of it here. And you know what? It comes from the cities, it comes to the small towns, it comes from the cities, it comes to your workplace. It comes to your child's schools, if your children are in the public education system. And by the way, often it creeps into the so-called Christian schools, so you'd better be aware. Because we've got Christian schools today that look an awful lot like Adma and Zeboam. Oh no, they're not the Sodom and Gomorrah that the public schools are. But they're bringing in some of the same things, some of the same ideology, some of the same wickedness that is in the public schools creeps into the so-called Christian schools. And sometimes I think they just need to take the name Christian completely off, call it a private school. We need to be aware of these things. you know, the songs recorded by the most vile perverts can make it into your teenager's car. The perverseness of the university professor can make it into your kid's curriculum. The pornography of the world can make it onto your child's phone or tablets. So anyone condoning immorality and calling it grace must be put out of a church. There is no place for someone to justify fornication, for someone to justify adultery, for someone to justify homosexuality, for someone to justify immorality of any kind. Jude 7 uses the phrase, they gave giving themselves over to fornication. Lest anybody should be have the thought line that, well, I was born that way, or it just such a strong impulse, I couldn't control myself. No, no, no. If you choose to be a fornicator, you gave yourself over to it. It was your choice. If you choose to live in adultery, you give yourself over to it. If you choose to go down that road of sodomy, it is not because you are born that way. It is because you choose to go over, to go that direction. You know, a husband and wife were made by God for mutual benefit emotionally and physically. The marriage relationship is blessed by God and is binding until death. And we need to remember that. You need to remember that going into it. One man, one woman, husband, wife, for one life, till death do us part. But adultery and fornication are declared by God to be sin from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God never condones it. Though there are examples in the Bible where a man had more than one wife, God never condoned it. It was never something that was accepted. There was never a law that allowed it. Yet people did it. People do all kinds of wicked things. See, homosexuality, bestiality, forcing someone, and immoral abuse of children are declared abomination. And where God's law is implemented, all of those things came with the death penalty. Every one of them came with the death penalty. God knows what wickedness man is capable of. And never once did God change his mind on his position on immorality. The Bible is consistent all the way through. They had a choice. Turn with me to Leviticus 18. Leviticus chapter 18. And I want you to notice here, Leviticus 18, verse 20 through 25. Leviticus 18, verse 20 through 25, the Bible says this, "Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." It is defilement to commit adultery. "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." It's that simple. It's an abomination to God. But you notice he addressed basic adultery first. See, look, in a society, you don't get to the other sins until you get to overlooking the basic sins of fornication and adultery. The ones that are more, if you will, natural. You don't get to the unnatural, reprobate things without getting to a place of acceptance of the ones that are considered more natural. "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these, for in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you." See, and before you get to sodomy, you get the acceptance of fornication and adultery. Before you get to bestiality, you get the acceptance of homosexuality and sodomy. You look at it, it is a degrading thing, and it takes one worse than the next, worse than the next. Why? Because the lust of man is never satisfied. Notice what the Bible says in verse 25, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. See, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. But he says about this whole land of Canaan, the land is literally vomiting them out. How long will this land be able to contain the vomit before it vomits and our nation is destroyed? See, it is not a matter of, just let people do what they want to do. No, because it's going to affect all of us. It's going to affect our very nation. It affects how God views our nation. It affects what this very land will do, because this very land is going to upheave because of the vileness and wickedness of the sin of our nation right now. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 through 16. Leviticus 20, verse 10 through 16. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to what? See, that's God's answer. Well, shouldn't there be forgiveness? Yeah. And you know what? If a few of them got executed, people would stop doing it. Right? Verse 11, the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to what? Death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now look, we had a situation over in the church of Corinth in chapter 5, where a similar situation to this. He said, get the guy out of the church. Okay, they did not have the authority to put the death penalty on him as a church, but they said, get the guy out of the church. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You can't have this, because it will defile the whole group. If a man, verse 12, if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. Verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, and there that there be no wickedness among you. You know what? What was the purpose of the death penalty here? The purpose was to stop the sin. You think that you saw your neighbor commit adultery and they got put to death, you think the next guy might think twice? Verse 15, and if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. If a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. See, you look at these things, and the death penalty was on each one of these things. When people begin to condone one form of immorality, others will soon follow. It's just the nature of the thing. Who would have ever thought? Okay, let's just go back, okay? I'm half a century old, plus one. Let's just go back to my teenage years, the 1980s, late 80s, early 90s. Who would have ever thought at that time that America would try to redefine the word marriage? In 1980s. Okay, plenty of wickedness going on in the 1980s, okay? Plenty of immorality going on in the 1980s. But there would not have been one thought that somebody would redefine marriage and call two men getting together marriage. Or call two women getting together marriage. Or call somebody getting together with their animal marriage. That just would not have happened. But what happens? Well, you get into the 60s and the hippie area and the era and the free love era and the fornication era. And once you get going down this pathway, notice God, when he lists these sins, he starts with the basics and it leads down a path. And once they start going down these paths, there's no limit. They're calling pedophiles now minor attracted persons, MAPS. It's gone. And Jude says, remember, you once knew these things. Everyone once knew these things. Who would have ever thought that any church, I don't care, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, you know, Lutheran, Baptist, whatever else there is out there, who would have ever thought that any church would ever condone this stuff? And now you'll find rare is the church that will stand against it. Oh, they might secretly say, oh, this world's wicked. But how much preaching, how much do you see people just say, look, we got to stand for what's right? You know, how few people there were down at the Capitol when they were pushing that big bill. Well, I just don't want to get involved. Well, if we don't get involved, who? Somebody else is making the rules. You know, if anybody comes into a church, creeping into a church that thinks any kind of immorality is okay, they need to get out. Immorality is not okay. Sometimes people struggle with the sin and they need help to get over that sin and they're repentant of it and they don't want to go back into that sin. And praise God, we are saved by grace through faith. And that God can change and God can give somebody that used to be an adulterer complete victory over that. And God can give somebody that was into pornography complete victory over that. And God can give somebody that used to be a fornicator complete victory over that. And people do need to repent of their sins. And that's what we want. We want people to be converted. And that is what God wants. But the bottom line is they need to be converted. Repent. Changed. You can't just stay in the lifestyle and say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Then you can't be in church. Jude 7 says the phrase, they are set forth for an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. I just give you a list of things. God destroyed those people that committed the deeds. Factual. God ultimately then destroyed the place where the deeds were accepted. Let that be a warning to any church, but let that be a warning to America. Lot did not improve the situation by going with the flow. You know, Lot was there. You know, how much could he stand? Look, he was in the gate of the city, right? He was in the leadership. Well, I'm just one guy. I can't make much of a say about it. We don't know that he said anything. We know that it grieved him on the inside. But we don't know that he ever spoke out against it. Lot's testimony ultimately became a joke. Hey, daughters, my daughters, and the bums that they married, we got to get out of this city. Come on, get out. God's going to judge this city. Lot, you're a joke. You live here along with the rest of us. That was his testimony. Lot was so entangled that ultimately he did not wish to leave. He had to be dragged out. Lot was hesitating. This is my home. This is my place. This is where my family is. The angels literally grabbed him and drug him out of the city. Took him by the hand. Pulled him out. Lot's wife desired Sodom more than her husband and her children. She knew ahead of time if she looked back toward that city, it was going to be the end. She had her husband. She had two daughters there. But she wanted to take one last look at that city that had her heart. And then Lot's daughters carried the sins of Sodom in their hearts and committed great wickedness with their own father. This is what happens if sins like this are allowed in a church. Let me read Romans 1, 26 and 27. You can turn to Matthew. We'll finish up with Matthew 10 and 11. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet." You know, the pastor and the church that was down there with the wicked sodomite party that was held, where the vile drag queens were portraying themselves in front of the children of Ottumwa. That pastor tried to redefine sodomy to make it acceptable. Well, it's just if someone forces it on somebody. If it's voluntary, it's okay. It's love then. The man didn't read his Bible. Consider Matthew 10, because this is important. Jesus made a couple of very strong statements. We look at this and we look at the message that Jude is giving. He says, remember, you've been blessed by God. You better contend for the faith that has brought the blessings of God, because if you don't contend for that faith, you're going to end up like the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt. You're going to end up like the angels that fell from heaven. You're going to end up like the cities in Sodom and Gomorrah that were burnt and don't exist anymore. But Matthew, Jesus makes this statement, verse 14 and 15. "Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." You want to take a strong statement. If you take the gospel to a place and they refuse the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they send you away and don't want anything to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, God says at the judgment, God is going to be more strict on them than he was with Sodom and Gomorrah. See, remember that great white throne judgment. Every person that is unsaved is going to stand before God Almighty, and they are going to be judged. And when a city had the opportunity, or when a person had the opportunity, their judgment is going to be stronger than those who lacked the opportunity. Let me tell you, it is a dangerous thing to be in the United States of America and stay a lost person today. It is a dangerous thing to reject the gospel and reject the gospel and reject the gospel when you've had multiple chances to hear the gospel. I've heard the statement said, why do you deserve two chances to get saved when some people haven't heard the gospel once yet? Now, I thank God for the grace of God in giving us multiple chances. It's a wonderful thing that God doesn't give up on us. It's a wonderful thing. Mrs. Burden is back here. Tony was here this morning. Isn't it a wonderful thing that Tony got to hear the gospel more than once and he got saved? Matthew 11:23, Jesus makes a similar comparison here. Verse 23 and 24, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Capernaum got to experience the very workings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if I had gone to Sodom and done these same things that I've done in your presence, they would have repented. Now, look, God does not have to do the same thing in one city that he does in another city. People are accountable for their sin no matter what. But there are people to whom much is given, much shall be what? Required. It's what the Bible says. So we need to take and we need to think about our own lives. And we need to think, I don't think there's one person in here that is on the road of sodomy. But I dare say there may be somebody that's struggling with lust. And we need to get the victory over that through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also need to remember, you've had the opportunity to read the Word of God through year after year after year after year. You've had the opportunity to be in church where the Word of God is preached on a regular basis, multiple times a week. We're going to be pretty accountable when the day comes. I'm glad for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad our sins are forgiven. I'm glad we have an advocate with the Father. But we need to remember to keep lasciviousness, to keep fornication and adultery and all of those immoral sins, we need to keep them far away from us. They should not be in our homes by way of television. They should not be in our homes by way of other things. We cannot get used to these sins of the world, because if we get used to them, our conscience will be dumbed down. And we will have less, they will be less abominable to us. And if they're less abominable to us as the parents, woe unto the children. So God being our help, we need to remember the things that we once knew. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah and the little towns around it were destroyed by God for these sins. Remember, these sins didn't get to be these sins without allowing certain other sins first. And boy, do we need to stay far away from sin, and boy, do we need to protect our children from the wickedness and the sins of this world. It's everywhere now. And may God help us. May God help us to be able to see these things as about 2 weeks, it's going to start Pride Month. How in the world such an abomination has gotten the status of being recognized for a month and celebrated by a wicked, wicked country, our own country, for a month? What a wicked, wicked thing that is. I'll tell you what, when you see the rainbow flag portrayed onto the White House, what an abomination that is to a country. It should never happen. And we are on the verge, we are in danger of this country getting a major case of the stomach flu. Praise God, I think there's at least 50 righteous. But I'll tell you, it's changing fast, isn't it? We need to stand for what's right. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have an invitation. Father, Lord, we're reminded of these things. And God, honestly, we look at what the Bible says, and some of these things are so awful, so vile, so reprehensible. God, I pray that you would keep it that way, Lord, that in our hearts these things would be abhorred. We would look at them as the abominations that they are. And yet, God, help us to understand that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for all sin. And people need the gospel, and people can be saved out of these sins. Like in the church of Corinth, there were people that were saved out of those sins. But God, when we're saved out of these sins, we can't stay in them. God, help us to be strong in these areas. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, maybe you have something to come and pray about tonight. Boy, we have to keep any form of lust out of our heart and mind. All right. Have a good week. Pray for our country. You know, Daniel was on his knees in the book of Daniel praying for forgiveness for the sins of the nation of Israel. Israel, of course, had already been, well, basically the land had pretty much vomited Israel out when Daniel was praying. But, well, we need to be thinking about that. All right, could I have get about three guys go down and grab that ice cream out of the freezer? It's all in the white, you know where it's at because you put it in there. Okay, and then that'll be back there. Jacob, would you take the money? Can you handle taking the money? Not to keep. Could you be the cash man back there? Let's see, two for me, one for you, two for you. But yeah, if you would do that, and then $3 a piece for the custard, and you know, before you go and buy 20, let people get one or two through, and then if there's a bunch left at the end, somebody wants to buy all the rest of it, more power to you. Believe me, I don't need it around here to eat up my $3 at a time and regrow what I've lost over the last 2 or 3 weeks. All right. Have a great week. Come back Wednesday. We'll look forward to a good service on Wednesday. And do remember to be praying for the two funerals on Thursday and on Friday. So, all right. You can be dismissed.